And, you know, I used to watch boxing a lot. Teresa liked to watch boxing, especially way back under Muhammad Ali and all them. And I would watch it, you know, and everything. And I would see that both of them go in. You know, you hear they get on there and they talk before the fight and all that. And, I mean, both of them's going in there to win, you know. I mean, they get ready, they train, they go in there. But I've seen them, and I've seen one hit the other one and them lose enthusiasm. And the Lord spoke to me one time when I was thinking about that, watching that movie, and he said, it's the same way in the kingdom as that. He said, you can be going forward and doing, you know, and I mean, enthusiastic about the things of God. He said, and then a trial come. He said, or something happens. Something don't turn out, kind of like what Mac was saying, you know. Fired up to witness for Jesus, then, you know, people fall. But the Bible even declares in there, it says, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right, but it shall not come nigh you. It won't happen to you. You know, even Jesus, they left him. 70 at one time left Jesus. You know, while he was in his three and a half year ministry. And one thing that I learned through God speaking that to me down there, because I was going to the streets, the jails, the prisons, the nursing homes, the, you know, like you're doing. I've been to all of them, or a lot of them, you know, not all of them, but I've been to a lot of different, and you know, you get rejected. And if you're not careful, then see, we've been appointed. That's the title, appointed, and then not only appointed, we're anointed. We're not only appointed, we're empowered. We're in, how many knows we've been appointed by the Lord to go forth in our life and preach the gospel of the kingdom, see? And you know, I realized this a long time ago when I was going to the jails. I had two jail ministries. I hadn't been saved but 6 months. But I was going, and I didn't know a lot about the Bible, but I'm reading the Bible. I don't understand what I'm reading. So I understand when you say, I don't understand the Bible when I read it. I mean, that's normal, because we're not trying to understand it. We're trying to get it. There's a difference in understanding. When you get it, you will understand it. But you won't understand it through the head. You'll understand it through the Spirit of God, by revelation on the inside. Well, you know, I was going to the jails, and I'm taking what I was hearing at church, like you're talking about, maybe you do up there, ought to. I mean, it's not my word, it's not my messages, it's God's word preached under the anointing. It's God's word, it's God's message, it's the gospel. And if your life has been changed and being changed, it's because you are receiving the gospel. You're receiving the word of God. You know, past head knowledge, because there's power in the anointed word. And when we go forth, and so I realized at the jail, you know, the gospel, you know, people would tell me, well, you know, the gospel is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is not. That's not correct. That's not the gospel. That is the accounts of Jesus, the gospel. The Bible says the gospel was preached to Abraham. It wasn't Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was not here at all. They didn't exist. The church, as we know it, did not exist when God said the gospel was preached to Abraham. That was a long time before Jesus. The gospel is good news. You're dead and you can be alive. You're spiritually dead, you know, but the gospel was preached of the coming of Jesus and the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of Abraham come on us through Jesus, right? Galatians 3:13, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come on us through the Spirit, through Jesus. And so, I determined back yonder that I'm going to stick to this Bible. I'm going to read that Bible. I'm going to listen to people that preach that Bible. But I'm going to make sure their interpretation is not interpreted their interpretation, their revelation. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, they're, you know what, I mean, we can interpret a lot of different ways. I said, you can twist it a lot of different ways. I said, I'm not saying, I said, because God can show me three or four things out of one scripture. I agree with that. But for me to come to a head knowledge of this is what this scripture means here, without it being revelation here revealed by the Spirit of God, will get you off course. For an example, they don't believe in women preachers, some men don't. That's fine. You have a right to believe what you want. But I went to the Bible, and I looked for more scriptures than the one that I was told. Now, why I'm saying this, I'm not trying to get on nobody, but it was very important that I know what the scripture says. Because if God sends somebody into my life and it's a woman, I would not listen to her. Because I don't believe she can be anointed, appointed, and anointed. Right? And so I went to the Bible, you know, and I went all through the Bible, and I can only find one verse that they use. One verse. You cannot build a doctrine off of one verse. The Bible says that by three or more witnesses in the Bible, that His Word will be established. You find three witnesses to that scripture that you're wondering if it's true or not, and then you'll find truth. The Bible, not opinion. Okay, now I was going to the jails and started the jails. The Lord opened those doors up. I went to my pastor, and just like I see things in y'all, just like Mac does, I mean, if you're going to walk with the Lord, you'll begin to see things in people's lives. I mean, you'll discern it. You'll discern it in here. You might even not know what you're discerning. But I told Teresa when Johnny wasn't even faithful, I said, there's something about Johnny. Something about him. I was picking up on it. This had been 8 or 9 years ago. I don't know. Long time. You know? And I said, we'll see. We'll see how time pans out. And sure enough, I mean, things started happening to Johnny, the gospel, and whatever he's doing. He started growing and developing just like I'm trying to do now and doing now. The Word changes us, transforms us, takes us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Now, we've been appointed by the Lord. I'm going to get into some scripture here in just a minute. And to go forth and to be a witness. And if we're not careful, we'll start out good, like Matt was talking about. Then things can get to you and bother you because it's personal. See, Jesus could have got offended because they rejected Him. But He didn't take it personal. He said, I only do the things that I hear the Father. I only say the things that the Father says. He said, I'm here not to do my own will, but of the... Why? He had read the Bible. He knew He was anointed and appointed, and He was going to carry that out, even if the whole body there was against Him. Right? Well, that was Jesus. No, Jesus was a man of faith, stripped of God power, given power through the Holy Spirit, just like me and you, stripped of being God in the flesh, came down here, stripped of being God, came in the flesh, was anointed to go do ministry at 30 years old. His ministry began at 30 years old. And then when His ministry started, then is when you seen Jesus going about doing good and healing all that were sick and afflicted. That's when you seen Jesus raising the dead. That's when you seen when He was anointed by the Lord to go forth. And signs, wonders, and miracles followed Jesus. I mean, He walked on the water. I mean, He raised the dead. He opened blinded eyes. I mean, He forgave sin. He healed. He set free. He delivered. He was a walking example of God. He was God manifest in the flesh. This is how come I know that. This, because the Bible says, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. So, see, some people will say you know, because they got this reasoning center up here, when you preach to them like I'm fixing to preach to you about going forth, they say, well, that was Jesus. You know, that was Jesus. Well, the Bible says Christ in you. That Jesus, that anointed one, is in me and you. And we have the same anointing that Jesus had. The same anointing that Jesus had after the book of Acts, after chapter 2, when Jesus, before Jesus left, he said, I want y'all to go and tarry in Jerusalem, a place, an upper room there. They knew, I don't know what it was. There was a place that was coming for them to gather or something. He told them, he said, go to that place. He said, and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. Then you will be witnesses then. They were already witnesses. They were already going forth and casting out. They sent them out two by two. This was before he was crucified and buried and raised. He was sending them out two by two. Told them, he said, go, when you go to a house. He said, first say, peace be to this house. Now, why would he say that? He told them, say, when you go to a house. See, they went from house to house preaching this gospel. They traveled just like Jesus. They going from city to city, knocking on the door, entering into a house, somebody's house they don't even know. And they're saying, peace be to this house. And then Jesus said, if your peace goes out and comes back to you, then abide there and eat what they put out. The Lord told me through what I'm fixing to bring scripture to you. Said, don't ever lose your zeal to witness. When the gospel is not preached, you won't see salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Unto people being saved, hallelujah. The preaching of the gospel. He told them, he said, go. He told the disciples, he said, you go and you heal the sick. He said, and you tell them the kingdom has come to you today. I'm going to the jail, and I thought, but God, you know what? I'm not going to befriend none of these people. I'd heard a preacher, he said, you know, sometimes you just got to make friends with people before you can win them to the Lord. And I thought, I'm not going to receive that. I can't find that in the Bible nowhere that I go make friends with sinners so that I can win them to Jesus. There's no, I went to find it in the Bible. Why? Because I want to know why I believe what I believe. I'm going to make sure what I believe, the best of my ability, lines up with this Bible. If it don't, it don't got no anointing, no power. You see what I'm saying? The Word of God is the power of God. The Holy Spirit working with them wrought signs, wonders, and miracles. It said confirming the Word they were preaching. See, concerning the Word, God was with them and God backed up them preaching. What were they preaching? They was preaching this Jesus came and he lived 30 years, his ministry started. I imagine they was just saying it. We watched him, we grew up with him, but something happened to him at 30 years old and he said he was going to leave us and he'd send us a Holy Ghost. He'd send us a comforter. He told us that and we just couldn't comprehend with our mind. But by God, we watched them crucify him. We watched them bury him and we watched him be raised from the dead, and he come back and visited with us and told us to come and you can be saved and tell them about this Jesus. That's what they were preaching. And masses got saved. I mean, they went about, bread God, and they were laying hands on people. Peter's shadow just fell on people, praise God, and they were healed. And I mean, they started dragging them out in the streets. I believe we're coming up on a time where if we go out and we proclaim this gospel and we're satisfied that he's working with us and he'll back it up when he tells us to do something, things will happen. And people, I'm telling you, before I left that jail, there was 12 ministers going to that jail and they wouldn't listen to none of them but me. I didn't do it. I never said one thing against any minister, although they all was against me when we entering in. I was the only one that wasn't licensed by the church yet, but God told me to go, and I'm the only one out of 3 years they never asked me for my license. All the rest of them got license checked. They said, go on in, Mr. Weston. I didn't have no license. My deacon come to me and my deacon come to me and he said, well, man, you need license. I mean, you need to tell Brother Brad. He's not really thinking about it. I said, why would I want to tell Brother Brad when I'm seeing the power of God take me into these jails and these people are getting saved under this ministry that God has put in my life? Why would I need that to affirm something? See, you don't need not the Bible. The Word of God is all the evidence you need to know that you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It's all the evidence you need to know that you can walk in the anointing and your body will continually be being renewed in your inward man. In your body, I believe that I'm kept by the power of God. I believe that I've not died by the power of God. I believe, I don't care if the doctors helped me out. They were anointed whether they knew it or not. Why I'm saying that is because I am not going to let this world and the enemy or anything else water down the Word of God that I have before me in my heart to where I don't believe God anymore. I don't believe God's healing anymore. Why? Because I don't see it anymore. I don't see it because I believe it ain't being preached enough. I believe it ain't being believed enough that we are anointed and appointed and going forth with that zeal to find and lay hands on. I'm before the Lord and I'm saying, God, your word says this. Lord, use me. I want to be used by you, Lord. And then you'll get used. People will use you. Then when you get used, don't say, oh, they're just using me. I imagine Jesus could have felt that way. God, I love them and they hate me. God, I love them because of your love in me, but they're trying to kill me. They're trying to, the disciples left me. Your disciples left me, God, but I'm not going to quit. I'm sure Jesus could have felt that way. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't want to have to go through what he's going through. Sometimes we don't want to go through some things, and that's fine. That's this flesh man. Jesus didn't. But Jesus said, he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, yours be done. And he goes out and he asked the disciples before he went in there to stay here and watch and pray. And he come back and they're asleep. They're asleep. He said, could you not watch? He wakes them up. Could you not watch 1 hour? He said, pray that you enter not into temptation. Well, a lot of them got offended when they took Jesus. They denied him. See, if God tells you, I want you to pray for sister so-and-so and I want you to go to them and I want you to pray. I want you to go pray for them. And you won't do it because you're shy and drawn back or whatever, you have thoughts, whatever, nothing. No, you got to bypass all that and get it out to where that is unbelief. You got to just say, yes, sir, Captain. I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring it up. Well, I went to that jail, and praise God, and the more I learned the Bible, I'd go preach the Bible. They'd ask me questions, because I didn't have an answer, I'd say, I don't know. But I would tell them, I'll have you an answer next week. And I wouldn't go to my pastor or anything to find out the answer. I knew that the Bible had the answer to whatever they asked me in there. I knew that Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that you might have an answer to those that ask. He didn't say, go ask Jesus. He didn't say, come ask me every time you need to know something. He said, study the word. So I would study the word and I would go back and I would give them a Bible answer. Although a lot of times, Johnny, I didn't want to give them the Bible answer because it was against what I'd been taught and believed. But it was truth. And Jesus says in there, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. He said, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He said, it'll make you free. So I thought, well, the only thing that's going to make these people free in here is the truth, is the word of God. Hallelujah. My pastor one time, you know, because I was coming short and I'm still beating the porch off and getting mad and different things like that. And I'm feeling like, well, I just ain't going to go to the jails. I'm being a hypocrite, man. I'm going in there and preaching one thing, and I'm going out here, you know, and I mean, I still get angry and mad, and I still make mistakes. Me and Teresa still arguing, all of that. And you know, I was going to tell Bradley, you know, because I was representing the church somewhat, you know. And that night, he preached a sermon. He preached a sermon. And he said, you know, he said, my aunt or somebody, whoever it was, got real bad sick, and he hadn't fasted and prayed, been watching secular TV a lot, and you know, hadn't been reading his Bible that week, and she's fixing to die, and they wanted him to come pray. And he's telling the story, you know, and he said, see, God knows where you're at. God knows where I'm at. God knows how to get me through. Yea, though we walk through things, we don't stop in things. We don't quit in the middle of things. Well, He said, I told the Lord, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, and I'm before the Lord, repenting and everything. He said, and the Lord asked me. He said, the Lord asked me, if she gets healed, you go pray for her. If she gets healed, will it be because of what you do or what I done? He said, and I immediately thought, oh. He said, it'll be because of what you done. He went and prayed, and she got healed. He went over there and laid hands on her and prayed for her. And she got healed. Well, I needed to hear that message. I needed to hear that message because I was just like I am now, nowhere near perfect, but I'm anointed and I'm appointed. You're nowhere near perfect. I don't have to ask you, but you're anointed and appointed. It's not really got anything to do with how good you are or how good you can be. It's got to do with He did it. He appointed and anointed us to go forth. Give me Mark 16, please, Beth. We've been empowered from on high. He said to them, go ye, and this is Jesus in red letters. He said, go ye into all the world. You know, this right here was before he was even crucified. He's telling them. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And people's told me right here, they've said, well, see, you know, water baptism saves you. But read the next part of that verse. What does it say? He that believeth not shall be damned. He didn't say nothing about baptism, all right? Water don't save you. I don't care who says. The Bible says there is one way to the Father, and it's through Jesus. No name, not water baptism, no name under heaven shall men be saved other than the name of Jesus. That Bible is clear. I don't care who preaches it different. Don't believe it. The Bible. And so, if you believe if I believe the way people said in jail, I would have to draw water and trough in there or something, get them baptized so I know they're saved. But I led them to Jesus. See, I was in my living room when I give my heart to Jesus. When I said, Lord, if you're really real, then come on, come help me. If you're really real like they say you are, help me. And I'm telling you, I was born again. The Bible says, I didn't even know the scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I got born again. It wasn't long I was challenged to a church that believed you had to be water baptized or you wasn't saved. So I told that dude, I said, what about, I said, I know. I said, I was there in that room. I said, I know what happened to me. I said, no, I'm not baptized yet. I said, I will get baptized sooner or later. I said, I even knew it because I just read the story, and I'm preaching this for a reason. I just read the story where the thief, the two hung on the cross with Jesus. And one of them, he said, Lord, have mercy on me. And he said, today you will be with me in paradise. He wasn't water baptized. He was not water baptized. So, see, that was trying to mess with my thinking when I was going to the jail. It started trying to get me not to go with an enthusiasm that Jesus is going to save them. And so I shot her down. I asked that guy that told me that. I said, what about that and on the cross? Well, I ain't never thought about that one. I said, well, you're trying to tell me different than what this scripture says here. I said, I believe in being water baptized. I believe in it. I believe everybody needs to be baptized. I said, but I can't believe according to the scripture that you got to be dunked in water before you're born again. What about these babies that goes to heaven that dies? They're there. They've never been water baptized. So, watch that. Because that will get you, and you know what? Nobody deserves to be saved. Nobody. I mean, the Bible says, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. I did not deserve being born again. So you got to get that out of your mind. If they do more and do right and blah, blah, blah. No, you've got to preach the gospel. People cannot do right without being right. They can hold out for a short period of time, but then that nature, that flesh nature is going to rule. He said, he that believeth and baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them, one translation says, that has believed. These signs shall follow them that has believed. Are you a believer? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus? Then this is you. See, Satan just wanting us to sit here and fight our emotional battles. I mean, you know, the world, we're too busy. We don't really, I don't feel like witnessing when I witness. I'm like, man, I ain't got time for this. You know, man, I mean, I know where the church is. Go to church. You know, that's me. But he says, these signs shall follow in my name. They'll cast out devils. Cast them out. I go up to, the Lord speaks to me one time. He said, go to your brother-in-law's house. He said, I'm going to heal his foot. Well, the doctors had told him that he's got an appointment to come back to, and gangrene had set up in his foot, and it's all swelled up, and I mean, just old green pus running out of the foot. I mean, it's nasty. Didn't smell good or nothing. It was rotten. I go over there and I knew the scripture where Jesus had told them over in Luke 10. We might get to it. When you go to that house, say peace be to this house. So I was doing that, and so my sister was outside. And I said, I want to pray for Harvey. And he didn't favor me too much. You know what I'm saying? My brother-in-law. And so I would get on their nerves, you know, somewhat, this Jesus stuff. But anyways, I don't know about it. I said, is this your house too? Oh, yeah, that's my house too. I said, well, you going to let me in your house or not? Oh, yeah, I guess so. So I go in, they all sitting around. I got permission now, Johnny. I'm appointed. I'm anointed. Now I'm believing God, just like you do. I'm believing God that he's going in there with me, and he's going to do his thing. That's what we do. We are anointed, appointed, and anointed. We are not going in our own ability. When you go to work, you're not in your own ability. When you're at the grocery store, you're not in your own ability. I bought a truck and give to this guy. He believes he might be an atheist, you know. He works for Mintravis. And so when I give him the truck, he didn't understand I gave it to him. I bought a truck and give it to him. He has jump time and all that stuff. And I was looking for an opportunity. I want to buy somebody something anyways, you know. Well, that was on a Friday. That might have been on a Tuesday or something. Anyhow, that Friday when I went to pay him, he said, did you take $50 out of my check? I said, no. I said, no, man. I said, I was only kidding with you, because I told him when I give it to him, I said, you're going to have to pay me $200 a month for 8 years. And that guy I bought it from, he said, let me in on that deal. 8 years, $200 a month for 8 years. I want in on that deal, something of that nature, you know. I was just messing with a guy. I thought he'd catch on and say, no, I'm not going to pay that much for it. But he didn't. He just takes it, you know. Well, that Friday he said, are you going to take out, you know, $50 a week? I said, no. He said, you take it out? I said, no. I said, I gave it to you. Like he said, well, I don't want you to give it to me. And I said, well, I don't want to sell it. He said, so we're both in a pickle here. I said, and then I told him, I said, Jesus. I said, Jesus, put it on my heart and told me to give it to you. See, this is what signs, wonders, and miracles do. He uses natural stuff at times, just like he's giving glory to God for a TV. I didn't even hear him say, nobody who give it to him don't want to hear it. He's giving God glory. See, the goodness of God leads people to Jesus. Because he's good to me, I'm going to stay with him. He's good to Scotty. Well, I'm believing that my life, and I'm not even preaching, but me and Travis talk about the Lord just like we did before he started to work for us. We're in the cab and he's back there, and we just talk about the Lord like normal. I mean, we just, you know, and all of that stuff, you know. That's you being a witness. I'm believing God that you will meet this guy. I'm believing God that through my life and Travis's life and the gospel, that this guy will come to know Jesus and God as a good God. Right now, he's been warped up about it. You can't unwarp him intellectually. He's got to be born again. He must be born again. The Bible says, if the gospel is hid, it's hid to those who the God of this world has blinded their hearts and minds, unless the light of the glorious gospel shines in. He didn't say about that fine preaching. He didn't say about having it all figured out. He said the word of God preached shines light in there, and then salvation comes, or deliverance comes, or healing comes. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They people got devils running their families and we're around them. I want to encourage you, when you pray for somebody, I mean, release your faith that something is happening. That something has left you and going out into the atmosphere. That lady up there that we prayed for, I prayed in tongues. People are against tongues today. Scripture. He says, and they shall speak with new tongues. Somebody told me one time, they said, that don't mean that tongue stuff that Christians have. I said, really? I said, what's it mean? He said, well, you won't cuss no more. I said, I just cussed my wife the other day and I'm born again. He said they'll talk with new tongues. They won't talk the way they used to. I said, well, I did. I said, I've not perfected yet. I said, but that is not what that means. I said, if you go to Acts chapter 2, he's telling them this. Jesus is telling them this before he ascends. And then he told them, go up into the upper room. And in the book of Acts chapter 2, I believe it is 28 or something like that. Give me that scripture, Beth. Be ready to go back to this one. Let's look at that. Now this cross reference, here in Luke 6, it crosses reference to Acts when you're studying it. No, that's not it. Let me see where it's at. That's not it, Beth. That's my fault. Acts 2, I believe it is. I don't even think I wrote it down. Huh? Anyways, I'll just quote it to you because I read it, but I thought I wrote it down. Acts chapter 2, they were there like Jesus told them. Jesus told them over there, he said, these signs will follow them that believe, and he's telling them. And so now we're back up to the book of Acts. They had gathered in the upper room, and they've waited on this power like Jesus said. And the Bible says all of a sudden a sound as of a mighty rushing wind filled the house. He said it filled the house. He said in tongues like of cloven fire fell upon each one of them, and they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And it goes on and reads that the people that were there watching them, that were not part of them, begin to say, who are they? Ain't these Galileans? Each one of them was speaking in a different tongue, a different language, and these guys all around was understanding what they were saying, and they couldn't talk like that. He said they started praying in tongues. It was a different language than what they were saying. It had nothing to do with not cussing anymore. See, Satan don't want God's people filled with the Holy Spirit. He said after that the powers come on, he told Joel chapter 2, he said in the last days he'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons will dream. They'll prophesy. All of these things. This is what happened in the book of Acts that was prophesied in Joel chapter 2. See, the denomination that I went to before I got saved, went to church, acquainted with, taught me that tongues was of the devil, that women could not be preachers according to the Bible. And they used that one scripture. And then they said prophesying is not real anymore. You know, it's not real. All of that died out with the apostles. You know, Paul and them, the apostles. They said all that died out, you know, and some churches just teach you stories out of the Bible. They'll be on James and they never bring the spirit sense, the spirit of what the story is saying, so that you get the Spirit of God, you get revelation, because you're just normalizing the Bible. Bible's not a Reader's Digest. The Bible's not a newspaper. The Bible is the holy, inspired Word of God, breathed by God, written down by holy men of God, by the Holy Spirit. The Bible has to be believed. It's a choice. I either believe tongues died out or I don't. And I better have it down with the Bible, because I will never experience the power that'll make me wit. I don't know. Anybody can preach. Satan quotes the word. He said, but we will speak with new tongues. He said, to them, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel. He that believes, and they shall cast out. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, they'll take up serpents. And in the Bible, Jesus calls some men that were just blaspheming against God, vipers and serpents. But Paul, this cross references right here to the book of Acts over there, where the apostle Paul them had stopped at an island, and they really didn't approve of Paul and them there, but it was cold and raining, so they accepted them, and they're building a fire. Paul's picking up sticks and putting wood on the fire, and a viper came out and latched onto his hand, the Bible says. He said, and he shook it off. This right here cross references over there to a snake. So I believe according to Genesis, I went to a job today, and I get out. That's I do lawyer and onion. I do a lot of people's stuff, but I do his work. Well, he usually puts his big dog up, Mac. Well, he didn't put his dog up. So I get out. I go around the front of the truck. Here comes that dog out there. Roar, 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 and he gets right here in front of me. And I looked at him and I said, you might as well shut up. I'm not running. You might as well shut up. And that dog, that's a gone. Hush. I'm anointed to be there. Right? I've got no fear. Fear caused me to run. That dog will tear me up. They feed off of fear. Some animals, some dogs, they're trained. They don't. They're trained. That's what they do. But according to Genesis, that we have dominion over the fowl of the earth and every living creature. Does your Bible say it or not? Your Bible says if you get snake bit, you can shake it off. I'm not afraid of snakes. I'm not going to go handle them. But I'm not going around, you know, afraid of snakes. I've been given dominion. That snake's going to warn me before I get to it somehow. Right? Now, if I'm turning a log over, I'll pick it up and watch, you know, but I'm not afraid there's going to be a snake under it. The snake's going to have to move because I might be digging worms like I was up yonder in Fort Payne. And I'm going to continue digging worms under all them logs and stuff. I'm saying that because I'm anointed and appointed. Even if I get bit, but God, I will shake it off. The Bible says that Paul shook that. He said, we will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. I stole some plums one time as a Christian. What I mean by that is I'm helping my brother and them. Ruth, and they was just I really, really have always really enjoyed green plums. I give $60 for an 8-quart basket not too long ago. $60. I like them. So anyways, I'm there, and a half a day goes by, and every time I look, those plums are, my mouth is watering the whole time I'm there. And I thought, well, these people, they would probably give me a couple of them. I know they would, Lord. If they was here where I could ask them. So I go over there and get me two of those plums. And I eat those plums. Boy, I enjoyed them plums. They were poisoned. They really liked their plums too. Because whatever they poisoned them with, it was not good. It wasn't long till I am sitting in the back seat of that truck, and my stomach's hurting so bad. I'm thinking how to tell them, man, y'all gonna take me to the emergency room. I'm telling you, that's how bad I was hurting. And all of a sudden, I thought about this scripture that you can drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt you. And I thought, well, I didn't drink it, but I eat it. And so I took authority over it. I said, according to Mark 16, I said, this deadly thing cannot harm me. I command you to loose your power. Poison, loose your power. And I'm telling you that pain went away. And I thought, man, this scripture stuff works. It works. See, now you can't convince you any other thing. Because once you move forward and you experience it, you experience that it works. I experience tongues. Teresa, she's praying for the Lord. Sandy said, all you need now, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with evidence, praying in tongues. I said, she's stupid. You know, tongues. You know they're of the devil. You know they're of the devil. Later on, Johnny, I thought I never got filled with the Holy Ghost at a concert or anything. And the devil was all in her, everybody stoned. I mean, you can't even see the singers because the whole arena's fogged up with marijuana. I ain't seen nobody praying in tongues in her. And the devil was there. So anyhow, I thought, we go to church that night, and I'm thinking, man, she's dumb. You don't believe that crap, you know. That died out, man. You don't have tongues. Where you going? I mean, you sound like a baby gibbering, jabbering. I don't understand what they're saying. That's stupid. See, the Bible says the carnal mind is an enemy to God. Romans. It says it's an enemy. And so we get to church that night, and I didn't know Teresa. She said, I'm going to ask you one more time, Lord, and I won't ask you again. Well, that night, an apostle that was supposed to die out, there I am. Hey, this is Apostle Miro Barrio. And I thought, oh my God, these people are fruitcakes. An apostle, who does he think he is? They died out. He's a self-made whatever he is. You know, I hadn't been saved long, see. And I'd been indoctrinated by men about their lack of understanding of that Bible, their own interpretation. Most of them that told me stuff like that, I would say, why do you believe that? I said, well, that's what our church teaches. Is your church right or what? They tell you to go drive off a bluff, you going? God told me to go drive off a bluff. How many of y'all saints going with me? Amen. Come on, praise the Lord. I ain't going. You go drive off a bluff if you want to. And just go home and be with Jesus if you make it. I'm not going. Well, yeah, Apostle Bill Barrio, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. I told Teresa this is them holy rolling church up here praying in tongues. Man, they shouting. Jesus lover, he's my lover. And I'm like, they're crazy. Well, he gets up there and he said, God sent me here tonight. He said that some might receive the Holy Ghost. I'm going to lay hands on you and some might receive the Holy Ghost. I thought he's a lunatic. And so when Teresa goes up there, I thought, oh my God, she's embarrassing me. Max is embarrassing me. I'm carnal. I have believed lies, therefore it's caused me to feel shame in the Holy Ghost. I mean, he didn't even touch her. And she falls out and starts praying in tongues right in front of my... I'm like, good God, man. And she's flopping like a fish in the floor. And I'm like, oh my God, this is even worse. She got the thing. I thought she got the thing. Like that, you know. And I mean, boy, I mean, she's just happy, happy. And I mean all the way, I got it. She's about 21, 2 years old, you know. I guess it was, wasn't it? About 21, 2, whatever. And then that night I'm laying there and I'm like, I was watching them close because I'm going to make sure they don't indoctrinate her. I'm going to make sure they don't shove her down. So I was watching her real close when she got up. So I'm laying there that night, you know, and I'm thinking, bless God, I know she's not a pretender. You know, and I thought, that really happened. I mean, he didn't touch her. She just falls out. And she just began to flop like a fish. She wasn't even had her eyes. She wasn't aware she's on the ground, Matt. I'm like, maybe this is real. See, what happened, the experience, because I want to know truth, that signs, wonders, and miracles was following this apostle. God working with him. He didn't do it. He and because of that, I'm a changed man today. that experience. Because I told the Lord, I said, God, I said, I know nobody touched her. And she, nobody, you know, I know, Lord. Lord, this has got to be real, Lord. This, I'm going to find out in that Bible, Lord. I'm going to go to that Bible. I'm going to find out if tongues is really real. Because I've been taught that they died out. I've been taught that speaking with new tongues was you won't cuss anymore. You know, you'll just your vocabulary will change. That is a carnal example explaining a supernatural scripture. You cannot explain the supernatural most of the time. I can't tell you how I got born again. I don't know. I just did. I don't know what happened. I don't know. He came in me somehow. I'm 30 years in this. I still can't explain it. I still can't explain how he can take one word. So, see, he wants me and you to go into the highways and the byways. Compel them to come to Jesus. Compel them to come. Witness to people. Be a witness. God's anointing us right now. He's appointing us and anointing us. And I'm telling you, when he's doing it and you go forth, signs, wonders, and miracles follow us. He works with us. Hallelujah. But see, I told you the stories, I believe. I went in and I went into my sister's house, and I'm going to close with this. I've been saved 6 months maybe, Johnny. And I'm not one bit scared of the devil. And I honestly believe that Jesus would heal anybody at that time. I believed if I laid hands on them according to the scripture, I'm a believer that he will heal them. He'll back me up. He'll do it. And I go in there with that attitude, bless God, that this foot, he's not going to lose this foot. This is going to have to obey me, and it's going to come off of him, come out of him. And so they were there. And they were around the table. They were playing their music and drinking. And, you know, and one guy's over. He's killed people. And he's asleep. It's his other, but one of his brothers. He's drifted down from Florida. Him and another dude walked from Florida. Slept under the trees and all that till they got down here, you know, or whatever. He's passed out snoring on the couch. And then I'm sitting there. And I told my brother-in-law, I said, the Lord sent me here. I said, I'm going to lay hands on you and he's going to heal you thick. When I did that, he threw that old gangrene foot up in my lap. I'm talking about in my lap. And it didn't smell good or nothing. And it's all pus running out of it, you know. And I just let it lay there. And he said, well, just pray for it. Like that, you know. And I said, well, bless God, I believe I will. I just slapped my hand right above the old gangrene, and I said, I command you right now in the name of Jesus to be healed. I command you to loose my brother. I called his name. I said, and by Jesus' stripes he did over 2,000 years ago, you're healed in the name. Foot be healed. You will not come off. They will not take it off. And I mean, all the singing and stuff stopped. They set their beers down, you know. And made him upset, the one with the gangrene. So he looks at me and he says, I love God. I said, no, you don't. I said, he loves you, though. I said, he sent me out here just for you. I love, he grabs eight ball. Eight ball, eight ball. Do I love God? I could feel, I mean, I feel, you ever feel excited like you need to testify? You know, you just... You feel that on the inside, that rose up in me on the inside. Praise God. But it wasn't to testify. It was God. I mean, and I said, I take authority over that eight ball right now in the name of Jesus. I said, eight ball, you will speak the truth. He said, eight ball, do I love God? Read it. I said, I ain't reading that eight ball. I said, I know you don't. He put it over to his boy and he said, what does that say? He said, I say no. I said, I told you. He said, eight ball, do I love God? He said, read it again. He did it three times, and every one of them says, I say no. And when that happened, the guy, one of the boys, gets a box and rakes all of the beer off of the table and rakes it into a box. And I'm like, man, I don't know what's going on here. I didn't feel the power. I knew it was there, though. I was expecting it to be there. And I'm young in the Lord. I ain't got no reason not to believe because I read it in the Bible. If God says go, then just go. Black God, and He's going to back you up. He'll still do it today. He still does it today. Well, that guy raises up, walks over there, tears running down his face, man. He said, will this Jesus, will Jesus forgive you if you kill people? I said, He sure will. I said, He sure will. In other words, he's just telling me I've killed people. And he's been told that he's condemned. He's been told that God won't never forgive him. I told him, I said, there ain't but one sin that won't be forgiven. I said, and that's blaspheming against the Holy Ghost, calling the things of God the devil. I said, that's the only sin that can't be forgiven. I said, give your heart to Jesus. I said, and He will forgive you. I'll catch you now. Well, we left out there. I said, well, we got to go now. I felt time to go. Wipe the dust and get on out of here. So I go out. Bless God, he goes back to the doctor. They never cut his foot off, Johnny. Never cut it off. It began to heal up. It began to heal day by day. And by the time he went back, they told him, man, if this keeps going like this, you don't have to amputate that foot. What are you doing? He wouldn't tell them. Glory to God. So go forth. Whatever God's telling you, don't think that He won't do it. When you pray for somebody, they ask you to pray, bless God. Look on the inside and say, okay, God, I'm going to pray for them, and for your glory, I know you're going to do it. The Bible says in James 5:14-17, He says, is there any of y'all sick? Call on the elders, anoint your head with oil. He said, the prayer of faith will save the sick. He said, if there be any sin, they will be forgiven. Our prayers, I'm telling you, they're powerful, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for everyone.